You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. So it is that day. It is that day we love. It is Friday. There it is. Welcome to it. Congratulations. You have made it to the end of another week. A short week for many of you because we have Memorial Day. But nonetheless, you're there. Welcome to the weekend. Hey, listen, we got an amazing show laid on for you. But for right now, I will just say this. The Boomer is on the board. Hey, buddy.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm great.
And
ready to roll.
What are we calling this guy sitting next to you?
So we got a new guy in here.
He's not like an intern.
No.
He's not even a super intern. He's not like your sous chef.
No, not at all. but he is going to run the board sometimes for us.
At some point. So if we let you out of the house.
If we let me out of the house.
So, all right. Well, we'll introduce you to the guy we're going to call Butters here in a little bit. But right now, Boom, welcome to Friday.
Hey, I'm ready.
All right. Hey, listen, we got an amazing show laid on for you. I'm pretty stoked. It's going to be full. So at 3 o'clock, Stephanie Smith, president of the Alabama Policy Institute. As always, she'll be on here with a weekly roundup of where things have gone down yonder in the State House. And it's been a full week, let me just tell you. And then on top of that, at 3:30, we got the Lieutenant Governor, Will Ainsworth, is going to be calling in, giving his spin on some things that have happened down yonder in Goat Hill and his thoughts on where it goes from here. So, yeah, 3 o'clock, Stephanie Smith, Alabama Policy Institute. 3 p.m. is Stephanie Smith. 3:30, Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth. And then at 4 o'clock, a lady by the name of Malia Stevens, who I connected with yesterday, she's doing an amazing amount of work, basically being a community activist to try and move people to support a bill which is in its final potential passage in the State House that would protect our kids from pornography. Man, it's an amazing effort on her part. I love the fact that, you know, we talk about it all the time. Anybody can get involved. Anybody can get busy. You can make this happen. Well, she's doing it, and we'll talk to Malia Stevens at 4 o'clock, so y'all stay tuned for that. And then there's this whole triple dipper thing, so hit it, man.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper. Three stories, three themes, if you will, that you have got to know as we run today's show. So, number one, I didn't get to it yesterday, so right out the gate, we're going to kick off with Go Woke, Go Broke. Listen, I don't know what's going on. It's like there's an epidemic of wokeness in corporate America. If someone in somebody's boardroom needs to wake them up and recognize that the whole idea of Go Woke, Go Broke is real. We're talking like Target has now lost $12 billion in market share value. Wow. So anyway, number one, triple dipper, go woke, go broke. And then number two, you know, we do this periodically. We have a lot of state-based news, and we call it home fries. Well, we already had home fries once this week, but there's been so much new stuff happening. All right, number two of the triple dipper, home fries, a second helping. So that's what we're doing, home fries, a second helping, number two on the triple dipper. And then number three, in conjunction with that call with Malia Stevens, we're going to call this whole dipper Save Our Kids. And in a minute, you're going to hear my monologue, which is kind of in the same theme. But it's amazing to me how brazen the left has become at going after our kids. I don't mean like a little bit. I mean like scratching and clawing and doing all they can to get to our kids. And I'm telling you, folks, that's a line in the sand, and it needs to be. So number three on the triple dipper, save our kids. All right, let me move over to my comments for the day, which I am fully expectant will trigger somebody in the audience. At the risk of sounding offensive, is there anyone else who's tired of having the woke left just vomit rainbows on us every minute of every day right now? Just literally vomiting rainbows. I mean, I cannot search anything online, watch TV, read a magazine, or shop in a lot of stores without being slathered in rainbows for Pride Month. Just slathered in rainbows. I mean, when did this happen? When did it become okay to steal a symbol that was never intended for the use that we see it being used for now? Think about it. The other day on this show, I pointed out that the rainbow has been stolen. The rainbow has been for millennia that beautiful reflection of light in the sky, often after a good rain, showing up sometimes in vivid colors and causing people to stop and take notice. The first recorded acknowledgement that I know of regarding a rainbow is in Scripture, memorialized in writing thousands of years ago as a symbol of God's promises when he said in Genesis 9, quote, "I will set my bow in the clouds as a covenant between me and thee." I mean, the rainbow has been revered and beloved across international borders since the dawn of time. But if you were to ask most Americans right now whether they want the rainbow to be a symbol of their business, or on a t-shirt, or on one of their children's toys, or on the wall in a classroom, you would probably be met with a curious look and a question as to whether you're asking because it's Gay Pride Month. Huh. Gay pride. Speaking of which, when did the word gay find itself being redefined? I mean, for perhaps hundreds of years, gay was a word that meant lighthearted, carefree, and happy. In the time of the American Civil War, the song "When Johnny Comes Marching Home Again" was a popular ballad about how happy and expectant everyone would be when the war was over and all the troops would return home, with lines that sang out like, "We'll all feel gay when Johnny comes marching home." But if you look up the word gay in any online dictionary now, you'll find a rainbow flag next to it with the explanation that, quote, "The term gay primarily refers to a homosexual person or the trait of being homosexual," followed by an additional explanation that, quote, "The term originally meant carefree, cheerful, or bright and showy." So when did this change occur? When did someone decide to give away the rainbow or change the actual meaning of a long-beloved happy word? Or for that matter, when did it become acceptable that pronouns no longer have to have their original meaning? I mean, you've all heard it. Even our Department of Defense and Department of State, they're so inclusive now that they require the use of someone's preferred pronouns as opposed to the pronouns that the English language would otherwise assign to them. I mean, think about it. She does not mean he, and they, by the way, cannot be a singular person, unless, of course, you suspend disbelief. Well, here's the deal, and I mean this with all sincerity. I want the rainbow back as a symbol of God's promise. I want gay back as a word that means happy. And your pronouns? Your pronouns are what the by God English language says they are, and I don't have to make myself illiterate to satisfy your incorrect usage of the primary language of this country. Any questions? Good. But I'll tell you why I think those wonderful symbols and words have been co-opted. So lean in here. Think about this with me. I believe they chose those because the goal is to look as sweet and as innocent and as enticing as possible. Just to seemingly be benign, a part of something that's full of promise and hope and good cheer, when in reality the evil plan behind the shiny imagery and flowery language is just to get us to lower our guard, to stop seeing the real agenda, and to consider it all just so non-threatening. And they want our kids. So the move right now to push the LGBTQ2IA+ acronym agenda is reaching epic levels. And more than ever, it's being forced more and more on our children. Let me ask you this. Did you ever see the classic movie Chitty Chitty Bang Bang with Dick Van Dyke? I used to love that movie as a kid. It was one of those that only came on once a year, and you always watched for it, right? But there was one part of the movie that used to just creep me out. It was actually very disturbing, and some of you know exactly what I'm about to describe. As the bombastic character Baron Bomburst ruled over his kingdom, he outlawed children. And his henchman was a character known as the Child Catcher. He was absolutely one of the most disturbing characters in any movie, and he used to give me the willies as he skulked around in a rainbow-colored jacket, calling out for children to come get in his wagon where they would have toys and candy and strudels. And then he would lock them in and haul them away in a cage. Pretty horrible. But do you see the analogy here? You make something look candy-coated, sweet, attractive, happy, colorful, and then you lock the door. By the way, what I'm saying is not bigoted. I'm not a homophobe. I don't hold any ill will toward any adult who has chosen an alternative lifestyle. And I believe that God does indeed love them as much as he loves me. But I will not long suffer any attempt to put a wedge between myself and my children or grandchildren. You can talk with them when they reach the age of majority, and until then, you can keep your fake rainbow promises to yourself, and that, my friends, is called parenting. Last year, about this time, a podcaster by the name of Josh Dawes went viral for addressing this very thing. In response to another post on Twitter, Dawes elevated the dismissive tweet about the leftists wanting our kids to a new level when he said this, and it's a long quote, so bear with me. He said, "The left doesn't want to diddle kids. They want to create little revolutionaries. To do that, they need to sever the bond between students and the parents they believe are raising their children to be hateful bigots. Dawes went on to argue that critical race theory was used in schools to instill a negative self-identity in children who are taught that they are privileged and complicit in racial injustice. And then, apart from the shame and guilt, this also gives them a worldview at odds with the one their parents grew up with and are trying to pass on to their kids. At that point, Dawes wrote, step one is complete. Children are then taught queer theory, which allows them to be celebrated for coming out as transgender or non-binary. Dawes wrote, in an instant, these kids can trade their negative self-identities and all the accompanying guilt and shame of being an oppressor for a new positive self-identity as much venerated as an oppressed minority. Schools then will withhold the information about the child's new sexual identity from the parents. Parents who react strongly upon finding out and push their child further into the arms of woke radicals, creating a little radical. Dawes said, it's about capturing the minds of impressionable children. And unfortunately, this creates environments where actual predators thrive. When young children get isolated from their parents, encouraged to adopt different beliefs and keep secrets from their parents, they are made easy targets for abusers. So yeah, in wrapping this up, some may say that taking the rainbow or co-opting the word gay or making use of pronouns in incorrect ways is just a simple cultural assimilation of old things to new ways. I don't agree. I believe that what we're seeing is the age-old example of that creepy child catcher wearing a rainbow coat waving candy in front of our kids, and all it will lead to is having them taken from us in cages. Not on my watch. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. All right, well, yeah, I feel certain someone out there is triggered, and I hope they are. But then again, I also bet there's a whole bunch of you conservatives out there that are triggered, because you know what I'm saying is true. If you watch it and step back, just like Dawes did, what we're seeing here is a co-opting of culture and stealing of shiny symbols to lead down a path that gives them the opportunity to reach our kids. Can't let it happen, folks. Not on our watch. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right, where common sense is a superpower. Text lines are definitely open. Holy cow. I mean, wow. But yeah, the text lines are open. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. You want to text in? You want to call in? We'll take it. We got several big callers, pre-scheduled callers all the way through the show. Stephanie Smith from the Alabama Policy Institute at 3 o'clock, Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth at 3:30, and then Malia Stevens on an issue before the legislature right now at 4 p.m., so stay tuned for all of it. I'm going to go to the text messages for a minute just to get some of these going here. JT from Lacey Springs says, that monologue, call it a week, wow. He said, ponder the Christmas carol, tis a season to be jolly. The lyric, don our gay apparel, the rainbow twist is never ending. JT, you're on it, man. Aaron, he says, I'm triggered because since your show has began, it seems like one third to half of our conversations are on the LGBTQ agenda. He said, have you considered it's actually your mind that's captured? Here we go again, episode 100 on the gay agenda. Aaron, my favorite liberal. Who was determined, by the way, to debate me on things that I have no desire to talk about. But okay. Thank you, Aaron. Appreciate you, as always. James from Alabaster. The right side way monologue should have had a boom explosion behind it. Said every word was right on. It's truly sad you can't even buy toys or clothing without pretty rainbow colors on them for your kids anymore. Just plain sad. I feel with the way Christians are being persecuted, prosecuted, and executed, that Jesus will have to be the only one to take the rainbow back upon his return. Wow, James from Alabaster. Thank you for the text, man. Kimball from Harvest says, our kids must be indoctrinated with traditional values by parents in the home. Parents have to have sometimes difficult conversations early and often address the things that they're hearing at school and teach them what our values are. They can't be kept from all these things. but they can be hardened against them. And yes, the child catcher in the movie was terrifying. I totally agree. Have you ever seen that one, Boomer? Have you seen Chitty Chitty Bang Bang?
Oh yeah,
the child catcher.
Yes,
creepy dude.
Creepy.
Big nose.
Creepy.
I mean, stringy hair. Just everything about him looked greasy.
Yeah.
Children come out to play. Yeah. And they're like, oh my gosh.
I haven't watched that in a long time. I did go to the play too, as well.
I think as a kid, I used to watch it and go, ooh, that's scary. Now as an adult, I look at it and go, someone needs to beat that guy up.
Yeah, it's just creepy and he shouldn't be there.
Yeah, totally. Hey, by the way, we're in a studio with a new dude hanging out with us. Going to be here off and on. Are you on camera right now?
I am.
Well, you're not on microphone.
I'm not on microphone.
You are no kind of technical whiz. There, now you're on microphone. How you doing?
He said you had responsibility for that one. So
I do, and I'll turn you off in a heartbeat. No, hey, so let's listen. Just proud to have you with us. So Boomer runs the board every single day. Every once in a while, allegedly, he has a personal life. And so we got to know that we got somebody else in the background that can push buttons. Because in the Army, I was what we often referred to as a push-to-talk guy. If I asked the radio guy to get me comms for headquarters, he would start talking amplitudes and frequency modulations and sunspots, and I'd finally say, if I push the little button, will I talk to somebody? That's all I want to know.
Mm.
All right, so in the studio, it's the same thing, so we got to have an understudy.
We got to have it.
Got to have it.
And I am happy to have Butters here.
Butters. Butters is here. We got
happy
Boomer
to be
and
here.
Butters.
Happy to be here.
But I will say this. Butters is your nickname in studio, but Butters is a nickname you came by in a pretty honest way because that was your designation as a Navy pilot.
Yeah, that was my call sign. So just to make sure that I don't offend any pilots, so I was a navigator, naval flight officer.
Ooh,
backseater.
Square that away.
So I don't want to be associated with the pilots. I told the pilots where to go and fed them the snacks to make sure we got there. So.
Nice.
How many years, Navy?
10 and a half active, and then finished out my 9.5 in the reserves, and just retired up a couple of years ago.
Thank you for your service.
Well, yes. Thank you.
And who's the one that handed you the nickname Butters, and was it on your helmet?
Well, it was a group from the squadron as they got in there, of course, in the Navy, unlike in the movies. Nothing's meant to be cool. They said, hey, you look like Butters off of South Park, and everybody in the squadron just kind of chimed in and... I came out good on that one. I came out on good.
Based on some of the other nicknames I've heard of before.
Oh,
yeah, you really did.
Probably can't say them on the radio.
All right, man. Well, we're glad you're here. We're glad you're learning all the buttons, and I'm pretty sure you're going to take to it pretty quick. But anyway, glad you're here, bud. Butters. Butters is with us. Butters. All right. And I've got your microphone turned off now, by the way. So, I got plenty of stuff going on right now. Plenty of things. Text line here right now. Gary from Decatur says, Colonel, I read in 1819 News that Alabama's trying to put DEI questions on the Alabama bar exam. Are they looking for legally related answers to case law or personal opinions about a social agenda should affect the law? How do you feel about this as an attorney? It's not just the Alabama bar exam, brother. It's the national interstate portion of the multi-state portion, they call it. And I am not a fan. I think it's watering down of the practice of law. Gary from Decatur, thank you for the text. More to come in just a minute. We're going to jump right in with Go Woke, Go Broke. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.